And I'm delighted if anybody wants to sponsor future ones. Please let me know. If not with Travis, please send an email. Of course, on the relay
stuff. This is Moreno Avshlita. First of all, to our sponsor David Friedman, L'chaim Aruchim on the recent yahrzeit of your father, and Mazel Tov for your new grandson Yisrael Meir. You should have lots of nachas. Children are your investment, grandchildren are your profits. There's also another couple of big Mazel Tovs. Firstly, to Henry Ehreich, who has been naming yesterday his bar mitzvah parsha for his 70th birthday, so it must be 57 years since you first named it. May you have many more years of being Oseik B'Tzorchei Tzibur B'Emunah in health. And a very big mazel tov to Howard Cohen, who is Sunday today for his son's bris, so I can't give you yet the name of his grandson's bris. I can't give you yet the name of his grandson, but he does assure me that the bris will be done by a hand and not by a machine. So, do we say when you're operating a machine that by pushing an electric button is actually your hand and is your kavonah, and you might be doing something lishma? Or do we say, no, it's not the same thing, that it's a mere causation, that when you press a button, you are setting in motion something in a force which is other than your own hand, and therefore that might invalidate whatever mitzvah you want to be doing? Or do we say that the human effort which is involved in operating the machinery is called Koach Gavro, Bidei Odom? And this question comes up in a number of ways. For example, we're coming to that. So once I've dealt with everything, then we'll take the questions. And I understand that the Rav's son recently gave a bar mitzvah drasha on the question as to whether a robot may be able to write a Sefer Torah. Well, a robot nowadays is able to write a Sefer Torah, but is it a kosher Sefer Torah? At the university in Berlin, there was a demonstration a couple of years ago of a robot actually writing a Sefer Torah. You can actually see it on YouTube, and it looks amazing and very efficient. It's very quick and it's very cheap, you know. I mean, if you could buy a Sefer Torah which is robot written, it will work out much cheaper because of the overheads and the time involved being much less than the traditional way. And what Rav Cohen's son actually did was distinguish between machine-baked matzah, which we will be discussing, and the robot writing the Sefer Torah. With the machine-baked matzah, his bottom line was, well, the Pasuk says, of Shemartem Es HaMatzos, that the main thing about the matzah baking is not necessarily so much the fact that it's a machine instead of a hand, but that there's a shemiro has to be lishmo. That may be one consideration. Whereas with the robot writing a Sefer Torah, it's not actually writing. When the Torah says, uchasavtom la'os al yodecho, with mezuzah and with tefillin and with Sefer Torah, that means derech kesivo. Or it says in the Pasuk, kisvu lochem es hashiro hazos. The actual manner of writing, even though the robot is actually going through the motion of writing each letter rather than you doing one rubber stamp in the manner of printing, it turns out that what the robot is doing is a form of printing. Well, it's not just with robots writing Sifrei Torah or mezuzahs. There's a question about shechita. Can you do shechita by means of something other than the hand? The Gemara actually talks about in Churin of a water wheel which is powered by water, and then as a result of that, the knife from that power does the shechita. That is not a kosher shechita because you need koach gavro. You need the power of the person to do it. What about netilas yodayim? When you're washing your hands, we say you need koach gavro. The actual hand. So you have to use a kli which you pour over your hands. It's not enough just to turn on the tap And even you might say, well, I turn on the tap, that's Koach Gavro, but it's a grommer and it's not direct. So when you are doing a Tzilas Yadayim, you need to do it directly with the Koach Gavro. There's an interesting Mishnah at the end of the first Perek of Mishnayos Yadayim, which suggests that a monkey can do the Tzilas Yadayim for you. Now, what's the big deal about a monkey? Now, there's a Perush, the Kesef Mishnah, Mishnah Lamelech, talks about, well, for that matter, any animal might be able to do it. But the Farshim say, what is this idea about a monkey? And the Meiri and Bava Metzia suggests that the monkey and the elephant are more intelligent animals than other animals, and they have some idea as to what is going on. Now, this may raise a number of questions, because dogs can be very intelligent. A dog looks before he crosses the road. Dogs save lives when it comes to fires. Dogs have amazing sensory powers, but we don't give the same tribute to the dog like we do to the monkey and to the elephant.
So, well, could we, Levim, be replaced by monkeys?
Right. So well, I'm not suggesting that the Levim are tantamount to being monkeys. But if the Levim are washing the Kohanim's hands, why can't the monkeys wash their hands? If the monkeys are intelligent enough to understand that there is a purpose for this, to clean the hands. There is one Perush which says, well, monkeys have hands which are similar to humans, but elephants don't. And elephants are usually paired up with monkeys on these things. We once discussed about visiting to the zoo, that you make a special bracha when you see monkeys and elephants shining out Rios. So, yeah?
They can use their trunk, they put water in their trunk and blow it up.
Yeah, so what do they do if they put water in their trunks?
What's the
oh, you mean they could blow it out from the yashi? Right. I think we might have a problem getting the elephants through the shul front door. All right. There is a question in a sefer on Chashmal b'halocha about actually mikvahs, when you're topping up with water, whether you can use machines to do it, or whether it has to be done by hand. Because there's the pasuk, ach mayon uvor mikveh, may mikveh tahor, and the darshan from the Gemara that you have to do it with the hand. So is the hand possible to be called a machine, or vice versa, that the machine is an extension of the hand? Or do we say no, that the machine is an entirely separate thing which is manufactured in an artificial way, and what it's doing is purely a form of geroma? So there's the question also of tzitzis. Tzitzis have to be made lishmo. The spinning of the thread has to be done lishmo, for the sake of the mitzvah. Does that mean, therefore, I can use a machine because it's powered by a human who has the kavono, who's doing it lishmo? Or do we say no, that the machine is a separate thing altogether and it's merely a geroma? So there are those who don't allow it. The Sefer Machos Avraham says that the threads which are spun by electric for tzitzis is not good enough. Why? He says, tzorich koach ha'odom. You need the koach of the man, of the human being, and tzorich lishmo, and it's got to be done lishmo for the sake of the mitzvah. And in his view, you're not actually making the tzitzis lishmo if it's made by a machine. However, there are others who allow it. The Shalat Shuvas Ha'atzavi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Chazon Ish, and Simon Rav Sifkot Yud, the Tzitz Eliezer, and Chelek Rav Simon Tetzvov, they say that when the machine operator is doing this job and has in mind that it's done for the sake of the precept of the mitzvah of tzitzis, then that's okay. It's good enough. And then, of course, we have the question of matzah. For Shemurah Matzah, Seder night, the machlokas we will go into a little bit, and that is the same idea. Do we say that when you are baking the matzah, it has to be done with the hand, or can we say that the machine is good enough because the machine is an extension of the hand and it's still done lishmo, or it might be koach gavro, and then it's good enough? So some people eat the hand baked, some people eat the machine baked. We know that there are differences of opinion, but what we want to do today is try and understand the background to this argument. Certainly, when you are baking by hand, you're still using a rolling pin. And the other things which you do by hand, when the bris is done by hand, it's still, yes, the moil is still using a knife. So So do we say that even when you're doing the mitzvah by hand, you are using implements in any case to assist your action in doing it as kach gavra and doing it as shmo? So why is that any different to using a machine? That's essentially the debate. The interesting thing about machine or matzah is that it was the most extensive heated debate perhaps amongst all the others. There was a man called Reb Itzik Singer who in 1835 designed a machine, and it wasn't electric then, it was simply something with rollers, and so we imagine the old fashioned pressing of clothes they used to do to squeeze them out, and it was done with a handle and with a very complicated kind of mechanism, and there are pictures of this. Ralph Feldman, who wrote the Perush on the Shulchan Aruch, he did various illustrations of various kinds of machines, and later on came electricity. So he was in Alsace-Lorraine in France, in an area called Rapsweh, and he designed this machine, and the rabbis of France and Germany were very happy with it. And it came before Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Oruch Lener, and he said, I'm very happy with the kashrus of this, and the speed with which it's done, and the efficiency. And the famous Würzburg Rav Yitzchok Dov Bamberger, he gave his hesher to the machine which was baking these matzahs. But 20 years later, when it reached to the Eastern Europe, this idea, then the debate came before someone called Rav Shlomo Kluger, and Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was the Avbeistin of Brody, was very unhappy about the machine. And he actually assembled 10 letters from other Rabbonim as well, and put together a whole contras called Modar LeBeis Yisrael to warn people about the dangers of using a machine for baking matzah. His real concern at the time was one of economics. He was very concerned that there are many widows who were relying on their source of income for the whole year round just from the baking of matzah for Pesach. And he said that we will be putting them out of work and they will suffer poverty if we allow these machines to take place, because what's going to happen to their livelihoods? And for him that was a prime consideration. And his worry about economics, you could say, was quite legitimate when you look in the halacha, because there is another aspect, a totally different one in halacha, which talks about the care we have for the poor people in protecting their interests. And one example of that is reading the Megillah, which we don't do when it's on Shabbos. Now, we don't have Purim here on Shabbos, but in Yerushalayim they do, and yet they don't read the Megillah. So the Gemara gives a reason, just like with Shofar and Lulav, that you don't do these things on Shabbos, Gezerah Shel Rabbah Sheva Yavarinu Zaladamas B'Shusha Rabbin, or Shema Yelech Eitzel Boki Lilmod. One will want to be taught how to do it, and one will carry in the Rishusha Rabbim in a public place on Shabbos, where there is no Eruv, of course, and then one will be doing an Issur D'Oraisa. Some might say it's not necessarily Issur D'Oraisa, it might be Issur D'Rabbanon, but we've discussed it in the past in one of our bagel breakfast shiurim that there is an Issur D'Oraisa involved. So there, the reason for the shofar and lulav not being blown or shaken on Shabbos was because of carrying. But there's another reason given by the Gemara in Megillah. There, near the beginning, I think it's Daftal or Dutafei, there the Gemara talks about that the poor people who come on Purim to shul to be given donations, and they get a better revenue on Purim than on other days of the year, they're going to lose out. And since they're going to lose out, that's another reason why we're not going to read the Megillah on Purim itself, but we will delay it by a day. So this is the consideration of economics, so that they annulled the reading the Megillah to help the poor, and so Kol Shekein by Matzah, which was the livelihood and the job of people, not just that they were standing with their hands open outside the gates of the shul, but with Matzah, that was their livelihood, and widows in particular, many women were doing these the baking of matzahs and they would suffer. But there were other reasons Rav Shlomo Kluger gave as well. Another reason he gave here, he said, Osa Medina, he said, Ein yotzin afilu b'cheresh shota v'kotel. You're not yotza, you're baking of matzah. If it's baked, by a deaf mute or a fool or a child. And even if Yisrael Omed al Gabov, we say in Halacha, even if an adult Yisrael is standing by them, watching over them, lo mehani, it's not good enough. And that's brought down to Halacha. So if it's the case that a cheresh out of a kosam can't make matzah mitzvah, then how can you possibly have das when you have a machine? If a kosam hasn't got das, all the more so a machine hasn't got das and intelligence. So that's matzah mitzvah. It's got to be Ali de Yisrael, God only said. And so he said that if you make a bracha over machine matzah at your seder night, it's a bracha levat holah.
Can I ask something?
Yes.
If we're worried about the widows who used to bake the matzahs, why aren't we not worried about the rest of the kehillah who will find that the machine matzahs are considerably cheaper?
That was the argument back of Rav Shaul Nathanzon, who wrote the Shaul Meshiv, who was the main opponent of Rav Shmuel Omer Kluger. He said, no, don't worry just about a small section of the community. Think of every family that the housewife goes shopping, and it's going to be much cheaper if she can buy machine matzahs, because the way it's streamlined and the production costs are less, the overheads are less, and therefore that was the argument. But
especially nowadays, where you see the hand matzahs are exorbitant prices, which are, somebody along the line is making a fat profit on them.
Well, my wife likes the spelt matzahs. I bought a box. My wife likes the spelt hand bake, so I bought a box of these, and there were like 3 matzahs in there, or maybe 5. It costs £35, and you're lucky if they're not broken. And yet, just next to it on the shelf, you've got the machine-baked shemura matzah, £3.99. It is a very big difference to the budget. So that was the argument of Rav Nathanzon. But for Rav Shlomo Kluger, that was just one of a number of his considerations. So economy was the first idea he was bringing, but then he was saying, you know, a machine can't have kavona. A machine can't do it lishma. The shame matzah smitzvah.
Surely that should have been his first argument. Either it's sort of kosher halacha, and then the economic argument should be logically.
I don't know if they were done in the order of importance, because he's written quite a large kuntrus, and he brought a number of letters. I can show you the kuntrus he wrote, Madola Beis Yisrael, I have it here. And I've also got the response which was made to it, which was called Bittul Modar. Rav Shaul Nathanzon brought 20 Rabbonim to write letters to show that his argument was stronger than Rav Kluger's. Anyway, another argument of Rav Kluger was from Psochim Lamed Vov, and that was due care and attention. And there he was talking from the Gemara there, which talks about v'shovin she'en elushin v'poshrin. When you knead the dough, you have to be careful it's not lukewarm water, because that can hurry up the method in which it becomes chometz. And sometimes when you're using machines, you can't tell whether the temperature of the water is right. That really you should be using cold water, and there are other considerations, because
what about Maim Shalomim?
Yeah,
that would be room temperature.
Yeah, it might be room temperature, but there is a consideration with machines that especially also if the baking of the dough takes place not far from the oven. It was another consideration in more recent times that the heat which is emanating from the oven in the bakery generally might affect the temperature of the dough when it's being baked in the machines. Because in the hand-baked places, they would usually do them in completely separate rooms. When I was a child, we had a school outing to a matzah bakery, and they were kneading the dough at one end of the building, and then once they had the dough ready, they were rushing through the corridor shouting out matzah kimaran and putting it in the oven. But they were making sure that the oven was very far away from the place where they were kneading the dough. So one of their arguments is nowadays that maybe it's not so far away, and therefore there is a problem with temperature. Yes, it's a way of organization. How you
Zion
Lerner from the London Based Inn wrote an article about how they use coolers and air conditioning in the area where they're doing the kneading of the dough, just to make sure that this problem does not arise. Yeah, so it's not really a problem nowadays at all. But that was one of the things which came up under Rav Shlomo Kluger. Yeah. The other thing he was worried about was there were leftover bits from the dough, because the tradition was to make round matzahs, not square ones, and they wanted to make the shape right, so they would cut off bits, and those bits might be recycled in the machine, and there would be a time lag, and then 18 minutes would pass. So he said that might be a dough becoming chometz, because old dough also, he said, might be adhering to the gears and the cogs and the stays and the wheels of this machine, and therefore he was worried about dough becoming chometz, whereas when you bake by hand, such questions do not arise. The other thing he said was that when you are baking dough with a hand, you will be able to feel in the dough whether there are any lumps, whether there are any unkneaded bits of flour which might still be dry, and if you don't knead everything properly, then you've got the problem of these lumps becoming chometz. And he said that you're more likely to find these little lumps or unground wheat where you are hand baking, but in the machine you won't notice it because everything becomes automated and it's not under your direct eyesight and supervision. So he said, if you say you'll be able to check later, can we be safely assuming that you'll be remembering to be baking later? And he quotes this Gemara, which says, Eilonu min azrizin, that people might not be eager enough and keen enough. He was also worried about patterned shapes. There's a Gemara which talks about Ein Osin Sirikin v'Pesach, where you are having special shapes being made. But there the Gemara says if it's a professional baker, it's okay because they're quick. But if it's individuals who are doing these things at home, these things like using molds and so on, where you make special shapes, would be a problem. It's a Baitus, the Gemara talks about, who had these molds. But if people spend time fashioning shapes, that also leads to a delay, and therefore he says, Al-Kaim, Al-Tashalim and Minhag Abaseichem, don't depart from the ways of your forefathers and their traditions, and you should stick to machine-baked matzahs. And he had quite a number of followers. There's a Shutz Mama Mordechai, Rav Mordechai Zev Itzunga from Lvov, who said, the fire is burning inside me. The people became very emotional about this, that there's a michshol that one will be coming to eat chometz if people cut off corners. He said, you mustn't let go with your hands when you're baking the dough, even for a second. And of course, when you are baking with your hands the whole time, that delays the chimutz process, because the 18 minutes is delayed while you are constantly kneading the dough. And one of the arguments of the opponents is that when you are kneading with a machine, does that have the same effect as with the hands? Because hands have the warm or moisturing effect which machines don't, and therefore the tradition we have with hands of kneading the dough might not be commensurate with the kneading of the dough with a machine. And of course we spoke about temperatures and when the oven's nearby, and so those were the opponents who came out. And there was also the view of Rabbi Yeshua Heshkel Ashkenazi of Lublin in 5670. He said, I don't make a difference between Seder night and the rest of Pesach. He said, Krovim li os chometz gomor, that these machine-like matzahs were regarded like chometz. And one chalamay, there's a story where they actually made a bonfire when these matzahs were discovered. And the Chasam Sofer, who was famous for his quote of Chodosh osom in HaTorah, it's just a play on words. Chodosh is the week which has not yet been through the Omer, the Kobana Omer, and you have to wait till the 16th of Nisan. But Chodosh can also mean something new, and new innovations are awesome in our Torah. But, you know, does that mean you can't drive a car to shul on a weekday? Do we say Chodosh awesome in our Torah? So in order to fulfill Yavodas Hashem, you can use technology in many different ways. The Sfardim also came out against this, the machines, the Seichemed in Simon Yud Beis, he paskens Osur. So you've got the Chashash. The Kedushei Harim, that was the Gera Rebbe, and the Zantzer Rebbe both came out against the machine matzahs, and that's why all Hasidim traditionally nowadays only eat hand-baked matzahs and not machine-baked matzahs. But well, let's give some attention to Rav Shaul Natanzon, who wrote his Bittul Modor. He, together with Rav Yaakov Etlinger, the Oruch Lener, he quoted the Rishalmi at the end of Perek Beis, and there he used that as, he said, it's not necessarily the idea of how the matzah is made, but whether it's prepared lishma, and that if you're pushing a button or machine or revolving a handle, it's still called lishma. The poor people, he said, yeah, of course we have to worry about the poor people, but the community can organize itself in other ways to worry about the poor people. You can have a community fund to help the poor people, but that's not why you have to continue having these widows baking the matzahs. Baking matzahs, he said, is not a charity. It's a way to prepare for Pesach. And he suggested that you could, in fact, add a tax when you sell your machine matzahs, to enable money to go to these widows and other poor people if we're worried about their livelihood. No problem. He criticized the custom that insisted on having round matzahs. Why can't you have square matzahs? He said there's no source for it whatsoever. He spoke about the lechem aponim, which he said was square. And on Shavuos, you have, well, the whole year round, you have matzahs, you have chometz, for the lechem aponim shavuos, he spoke them about there's no problem about them being square. So he said the whole concept of insisting on hand baked rather than machine, he said, is a litzchok mechisol. He said, this is, you're making a laughing stock of the halacha. If people want to do it with a machine, let them make it with a machine. And he said, I've gone into these hand bakeries and there are many michsholim. He said, there are people who are working there for long hours, hard work, tough conditions, a real sweatshop, and human error can easily happen, and people can overlook the problem of chometz being baked. Ogul, it's true, ogul means round, but... Yes. Okay, but he says that halakhically there's no problem if they were square, and he seems to insist that they were square. And that was he quotes a number of sources from the Kolbo. Soft Sadi Dalud says Cotton Tess that the Shtei Lechem was square. So. Anyway, the Ksav Sofer came in on the debate. Pardon? Yeah, okay, but the shape didn't matter. The Ksav Sofer, even though he was the son of the Chasam Sofer, he noted the Michsholos with hand baked. He noticed the bad workers, and he writes in his Tshuvas Simon Base, he said, I visited a bakery and I saw the machine and I saw the workers eating and drinking during work, and there was a chashash that they were bringing in their sandwiches, and he felt there was better zrizus with the machines, a more particular exactness. And he said, there's no need to enter a pilpul against the opponents, let them say what they want to say, Hashem knows that we're doing it the Shem Shammai. But he did list a number of takonos. He asked that when machine baking happens, certain things should be done, the machine should not be covered, where workers are not around and not standing, there should be no materials put on the table other than what's needed for the baking, there should be no delay between stages. He listed a number of rules which should be instituted to make sure that there is no problem. The Chazon Ish agreed that baking matzah is called koach odom, with a machine. He agreed. And he made a distinction between baking matzahs and shechita. The Gemara which I spoke about, the blade from the water wheel, which is not called koach odom at all. And quoting the Rashba, that the Jew standing by the child might be no good, but that's the difference with machine on matzah, it's okay. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in Mikroi Kodesh and Minchas Chinuch says, one can't control what's in one's friend's hand, hence the idea of it's not good enough to stand over cherishot of a koton. But with matzah, okay, from the sheen, according to this Rashba, is not a problem. The debate reached Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of the 20th century. In the year 1903, a firm called Cohen Halperin started baking machine matzahs, and they got a heksha from the badatz, the Badatz being a good heksha, saying it's called Mehudar, and this aroused within 3 days ire and anger from the Hasidic community, who started putting up their fly posts and pashkvilim and listing things, condemning the machine matzahs and warning people not to eat them, and that it was an issur gomor. And the Avnei Nezer got involved in the debate in 1908, the Chasokat Shava, and a few days later, a pupil of Rav Yisrael Salanter got involved, Rav Naftali of Amsterdam, and they quoted the Maharsham of Brezen, and there were arguments about whether the letters which were quoted were a forgery or not, but the Hasidim were basically following the Zamster Rebbe and the Gera Rebbe, who said, you may not. Rav Shmuel Salant then, who was in Yerushalayim, came on the scene and he said, Matzas nechonahim kasheros hula afilu mehudoros. He said, not only are machine matzas kosher, but mehuda, they are more exemplary. And Rav Zvi Pesach Frank quoted, the Chazon Ish, kiven shehischel have a koach rishon. Since the machine is operated by human effort of koach rishon, even what comes after it is not called groma, but is also koach rishon from human effort, and therefore it is okay. And he relied on the Noda Builder and Yeridel Kufayin Hay. And so, what about a get? If a get is written, it says it has to be written v'kosav lo sefer karisus. So a Jew has to write this lishmo. What about Ibud Oros, when you prepare the parchment for mezuzah and sefer Torah? Can you use machines for that? For tefillin? If it's supervised and it's initiated by the Jew. So,
have a ksuva that's pre-printed except for the name and ksuva.
Yeah, but a ksuva is not the same as a get. If the ksuva, yeah, you get the artistic printed version.
Yeah, the same black and white.
Okay, the ksuva which is read under the chuppah, it can be printed, as long as it's signed and witnessed by the chosan and so on. But a get, it says the cost of los sefer krisus, that has to be handwritten. It can't be done by a robot. It can't be done by a machine. But matzahs require...
The names are handwritten, but the actual...
You're not
allowed
to write a get like that.
No, you can. Have it pre-printed.
No, not for a get. The whole get has to be handwritten.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not kosher. Because the Torah makes it very clear the cost of los sefer krisus. Certainly, the shliach can write it on behalf of the husband. Although the Torah says for Kosavlo is the husband who writes the get, that can be done by a shliach, but it has to be done by hand, the shmo, word for word, letter for letter.
So what happens then? Is that people who want to divorce their wife have to literally write it themselves?
Yes.
No,
the sofa. Well. You can bring in a sofa to do it. And
I assume he differentiated between it being Kach Adam but not considered Ketiva for things like the get.
Yeah. There are a number of Paschim who decide to distinguish between Koach Odom and Lishmo. They're not the same thing. So Koach Odom, you need Koach Odom definitely for writing like Kisul or Chemes Hashir Azot, for writing the Sefer Torah and for writing a get, and for Shechita and for Netina Sildoim, you need Koach Gavro. And there you've got the Kavona involved. But when it comes to Matzah, it's not the same thing when you say Lishmo. Because it's not so much the Koach Gavro as the initiating Lishmo. Especially because with Matzah it says, Ushamartem es ha-matzos. So the whole idea of Lishmo comes from that pasuk. And Ushamartem es ha-matzos, the idea of Shimur. So, Chazok ha'in odam ha-shamah ma'asha biyad chaveiro. But when you're supervising a machine and you are making sure that everything's going smoothly and you have initiated it with your own personal action and you've got the kavona and then you're seeing it through, that is called lishma. Even if it's not all kach gavro. So that's the distinction between the two. Whereas if you use the machine for netilas yadayim or shechita, not good enough. Even though you can insist at lishma. So there is that difference between the power of the person, kach gavro, and the intention, lishma. So that's with those examples we can get that difference. So it might not be biyodo, or it might be biyad chavero, but that's the interaction where you might get the lishma and not the kach gavro, or you might get the kach gavro and not the lishma. certainly when you use a knife and a bris, or in Melachos of Shabbos, you might use a knife. That's called an extension of the hand. And there's another consideration, that if you're chayv on Shabbos, well, if I bake something on Shabbos, well, what am I doing when I bake it? I'm not really baking it. I'm kneading the dough, and then I'm putting it in the oven. And then I can say, well, the oven is baking it. So why should I be chayv for baking on Shabbos as an av melacha? I'm not really baking it, but it's meleches machsheves, and I'm putting it in the oven. Or zoreh, if I winnow the corn by throwing it in the wind to get rid of the chaff which is inside the corn, so I could say, well, I'm not really doing the selection of it myself. I'm throwing it in the wind, and the wind is doing the rest. So therefore, I shouldn't be chayv melacha, but you're doing a melacha on Shabbos. And there are a number of other melachas like that on Shabbos. So do we say that you're not chayv on Shabbos because of a geroma? After all, melechas machsheves osra Torah, and surely that's something which is being brought through. So that the melachas of Shabbos are, in effect, not necessarily done by koach gavro. When you're putting that bread in the oven, it's not yet bread, and it's the oven that's making the bread, but you are chayav for baking. But your koach gavro has put it in the oven, you've had the intention to put it in the oven, and that intention gives you the issur. The Avnei Nezer wants, Rav Chaim Ozek Rajinsky wants to make a distinction between Meleches Shabbos and other issues because of Meleches Machsheves. But you can see that to do the action which makes you chayav on Shabbos is not the full action. So in the same way with the baking of the matzah, provided you initiated it and you have the kavanah with it, then you're doing the mitzvah. So just like the chiyuv, the losase of Shabbos might result in chayav chatos or koris or whatever it is. So with the baking of matzah, you can do the mitzvah by the kavona, even though it hasn't all got the koach gavra compared to Melachos Shabbos.
So if you put the bread in the oven before Shabbos and leave it to bake on Shabbos, how is that different from setting a time switch?
Well, how is your wife allowed to light her Shabbos candles before Shabbos? You go out the house, they're burning on Shabbos. So the candles which are burning on Shabbos is a result of your malacha or your wife's malacha. Why is that allowed? Because you did it before Shabbos came in and you set it in motion. If I light my candles and then I go to shul and I lock the door and the candles are burning, I'm not even in the house while they're burning, why should I be chayav on Shabbos? But you did it before Shabbos, that's why. So the time switch is alright, that's another argument, but Ein Shavisas Kela B'Shabbos. So you can use time switches on Shabbos. The machlokas between Hillel and Shammai, whether your Kelim have to rest for you on Shabbos, just like your animals have to rest on Shabbos.
Just concerning David's issue, though, you have got a problem with Ridiyas HaPas on Shabbos, Rabbon.
Ridiyas HaPas is taking it out, yes, but that's the Chochma of Ein HaMelocha, it's another subject. So Rav David, Yisrael David Hapanas writes his concerns about machine matzahs, that when you're kneading by hand you might discover unground kernels, and he says machines need large amounts and therefore you might overlook things more easily. There was a question about the lubrication of the wheels and the oil might be dripping on the matzah. He was worried about the machine might need only outer parts of the dough, not the inner parts of the dough, and the water might not distribute equally. But this was all on the primitive machines, and the machine gets warmer as it continues. But he was refuted by a number of others, although he claimed that he found crumbs in the machines. Nowadays they use a non-stick Teflon, and the Maharsham says with a machine Hachoshev HaKolkach Odom, and Diane Lerner, who was of the London-based Din about 30 years ago, wrote about the fact that baking hand-baked matzahs also involved tools. He's noted the 12-hour day they were working hard in the bakery and there were problems arising, and the square matzahs, there's nothing wrong with it. He spoke about Ugos. He quoted the Malbim who supported the machines. He said the rolling and cutting areas near the ovens have special air cooling cabinets to ensure that heat is not excessive. All the moving parts have non-stick surfaces. There's constant high-velocity air ensuring that the residual bits are blown away from the dough and they're not left lying in the machine. And there are supervisors who stand with air guns to remove any dough in the crevices. And he said the complete baking takes only 8 minutes, which is very quick, very efficient, less than half of the strictest opinion. And so he says science and technology are assisting Torah observance. But having said all this now, you've heard the arguments, you've heard what the main issues are and the emphasis. We're running out of time, but I'd like to end off with an interesting Arizal. And the Ari says, and I'm not suggesting that you have to have the hand-baked matzahs, because you heard the opinions which said you can have machine-baked matzahs. But the Ari was particular about hand-baked matzahs, and the Hasidim who follow him obviously are. But there's an interesting point he made, and that is, when you go into a matzah bakery, when they're baking by hand, you see the sweat pouring down their faces. He said, that is something very significant indeed. Ziyah, sweat, he says, is a tikkun. For the biggest Averus, because it shows the energy and enthusiasm which you're putting into the baking of the matzah. And that sweat, he says, is a tikkun, is a kapora for any Averus that one has done. That a person who is warming up his body energetically when he's doing mitzvahs, when a person is kneading that dough of the matzah in making them and baking them, it's an interesting idea, because it's also written in the Shulchan Aruch that one should run to shul when one is going to daven. Or maybe not in a non-Jewish area. But there's the idea of jogging to shul. Why? To show the energy that the sweat is pouring down your face. That, he says, is the tikkun for any averus, because when you're involved in any mitzvah whatsoever, and it could be gemilas chasodim of helping other people and so on and so forth, that when you've got the sweat pouring down your face, he says that is a tikkun for your averus, because that shows your enthusiasm in doing avodah Hashem. A very interesting idea and message to bring with us.
The sweat doesn't get in the matzah.
Yeah. Make sure the sweat doesn't get on the matzah. Thank you.
Sweat is from the heat, not from the energy.
Yeah. So, anyway, Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, Rabbi Tzachon Shbachul, 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 Rabbi Tzach